Welcome to the July 17th, 2015 Drupalize Me podcast.
Hello, everybody.
Hi, everybody.
I'm
your hostess, Amber Matz.
And your host, Kyle Hoffmeyer.
Addison Berry, I am your hostess.
Guess what time it is? It's time for another Drupalize Me podcast.
This is Amber Matz, and I'm your host for today's podcast. And I have with me today Andrew Wilson, Senior Account Manager at Drupalize Me.
Hello.
And today we're going to talk about SEO and site visitor data. So, Andrew, what is SEO? Which I'm probably going to say CEO at some point during this podcast. But what is SEO with an S, and why is it important to business and site owners?
Sure. Well, SEO is search engine optimization. Essentially, it's structuring your website in such a way that it's positioned optimally to be found and ranked by search engines.
And why is it so important to business and site owners?
Well, for those reasons exactly, to be found and ranked by the search engines. Specifically, when we talk about search engines, we mean Google, which controls 70%, I believe it is, of the global search market. People think that SEO is a dirty word, almost, but it's not. At its core, it's about content organization and architecture, really.
So, to just put it rather bluntly, if people can't find your site, then they can't buy things from you.
Exactly.
So, what are some recent developments in search engine optimization, specifically regarding Google search results, that business and site owners should be aware of?
Something that has popped up in the last few months, the last year, is structured data. And it's been a thing for a while, essentially telling a search engine what your content is about. But recently, Google has been pushing their schema.org vocabulary for structured data, and you're seeing updates in their search pages, like the knowledge graphs, rich snippets, things like that, that they're really leveraging schema.org to create.
So schema.org, that's a different sort of markup than what you would traditionally use with HTML. Is that correct?
That's correct, definitely. And you can take a look at what that's all about at schema.org. And it's a partnership with Google and Yahoo to really create a robust markup for content on the internet.
So is rich snippets the part in the search result where you see maybe a 5-star rating or movie show times or something, kind of an enhanced bit of information on a search result?
That's exactly right. The snippet in search is the blurb of text, the individual result. And a rich snippet is one that, like you said, is enhanced in some way. It'll draw your eye. That's a big aspect of the SEO, right? Are you drawing your visitors or potential visitors' eye to your snippet with, you know, 5-star reviews or an image or something that enhances the snippet?
So if a site has rich snippets enabled, is Google going to rank them higher or group them in a certain way in the search results?
No. <Okay. laughs> So it won't necessarily affect your ranking, although your ranking is partially affected by click-through rate. So it may increase your click-through rate, which in turn may increase your ranking. The caveat, however, is that even if you mark up your data with the schema vocabulary, you don't necessarily influence Google in terms of will they display your rich snippets or will they create a knowledge graph for you. So that's still something that Google does on its own based on its algorithm and also based on manual just processing of data and structuring of data. So there's no guarantee that, you know, implementing this data is going to help you, but it won't hurt you by any means.
So the schema.org thing, I remember something on our site about we went through and marked up videos in a specific way using the schema.org syntax. Is that, so that's different than the rich snippets. So there's rich snippets and there's schema.org, or are they the same thing?
That's an excellent example. So you're using schema from schema.org to tell Google what your data is about. So in our case, we told Google that our pages are primarily about the videos that live on those pages. And our hope is that the video then shows up in Google search. However, as I just noted, Google controls that pretty tightly because people like to game the system. So in the case of videos, videos have not appeared in Google search unless, of course, they're YouTube videos,
which is owned.
Big surprise, yeah. Big surprise there. However, there's a higher likelihood for our videos to appear in video search, which is a lesser known, probably lesser used Google search.
So the hope is that by using the schema.org video syntax, that maybe our search results will, or anyone who has video search results, will show up like they do with YouTube, with the video kind of embedded in the search result?
Exactly. That's the exact hope. In practice, that hasn't happened, but we are, if you navigate to the video search in Google, we are going to rank potentially higher, potentially better, because we've identified these videos to Google, whereas other websites have not. So there are benefits, whether Google is using them to the extent that we hope or not.
Cool. So switching gears to analyzing this data, so seeing how you're doing with search engine optimization, you could learn use a tool such as Google Analytics, and you keep pretty close tabs on our stats in that tool. And you've noticed, what just from our conversations on the team, we've noticed a correlation between how many visitors we have and how our sales are doing. Is that correct?
That is correct, definitely. So our visitors, it's essentially our marketplace. So the people that we can draw to the site are potential leads for sales. And it's a big part of our potential sales on a daily basis is our search engine traffic.
So this being so important, can you share a lesson that we've learned very deeply and personally at Drupalize Me about the importance of SEO?
Definitely. So at the end of 2014, we had a search engine crisis of sorts, in that Google regularly updates their algorithm. They have major algorithm updates and they have minor algorithm updates. And we were hit with a minor update for whatever reason. We have theories, but at the end of the day, it's difficult to determine what exactly they changed that affected our search ranking. And as a result, for a good bit of time, too long, we were dropped from Google search algorithm. And as a result, as you might imagine, the knock-on effect to sales was significant. And so it really highlighted to us the importance of making SEO a high priority on a day-to-day basis, as well as this concept of Google search risk, and mitigating that risk. So for instance, because Google controls about 70% of the search market, your sales as an organization are highly dependent on Google and exposed. And there are things that you can do, like boosting your newsletter subscribers, you know, to mitigate that Google risk.
And so I know that it still remains a mystery why we were we were hit like that. But what were some of the things that we did that resulted in us getting back into the good graces of the Google search results?
Yeah, so Google's actually really honest and straightforward about what a website needs to do and not do to rank well in with given their algorithm. And you can find that on their Google Webmaster pages, their central blog. And really, we just scanned the main factors for ranking well in Google and made sure that we were up to date and in compliance with those factors. And we found that because we weren't focused on SEO as much in the past, that a lot of things, some things had certainly fallen out of compliance, and we updated those, and within, you know, a few weeks' time, we were back in Google's good graces, which was wonderful.
Cool. Well, very good. Well, shifting gears to gathering customer data, what are some reasons why it is important to business and site owners to learn about their customers, especially their online customers?
Definitely. Well, you know, any organization is a bubble in ways, right? You know, everyone shows up to work in the morning and, you know, talks about problems and features and customers and leaves at the end of the day, and they don't actually ever talk to their customers and find out if their assumptions are correct. So, you know, it's within that bubble, everything's really just an opinion or a hypothesis until it's supported or disproved by the reality of what their customers are doing and saying.
Exactly. It's so easy to fall into that bubble too and just to make up stuff about our customers. And that impacts not only product offerings, but design decisions and everything from top to bottom when it comes to a website.
Exactly.
So what kinds of site visitor data is readily available to be gathered?
Everything, anything. I am constantly surprised and scared, really, by the data that can be obtained and tracked on the internet. I think a good assumption generally is that you have zero privacy on the internet.
Scary. and I don't want to paint a picture here that we're just, as business owners, just, you know, drooling to get our hands on visitor data. There really is this balance between, okay, we want to learn more about our customers so that we can better serve them, and we want to do this in a non-creepy way, but oh geez, there sure is a lot of data available here that, and you can do a lot of tracking using cookies or what have you. So just focusing first on like a tool just like Google Analytics, what are some interesting things that you can learn about site visitors just using analytics?
Sure. So Google Analytics is extremely powerful. It's an incredible piece of free software. It aggregates data, and that's its big selling point. It will take metrics, which are, think numbers, things like users and sessions and events, and also dimensions to those metrics, which are, think more descriptive data like geography, source, or page title, things like that. And it'll aggregate that across, you know, your entire website and the thousands of visitors that you hopefully have.
And so you can learn where people are from, how long they're on your site, what pages they're visiting, that sort of thing.
Exactly. But again, the key to that is that it's aggregated. So I cannot see, for example, or not easily see what you, Amber, necessarily did on my website. However, I can see what, you know, X number of visitors from the Western United States did.
And that's assuming that you have a lot of visitors. So if you only have three visitors and one of them's your mom in you know, Tennessee, and one of them's your sister in North Dakota. You can probably tell what they're doing.
You can probably figure it out.
Exactly. But we're assuming that this is a site with thousands of visitors, and so that data is aggregated, and you can't tell what an individual is doing. Exactly. I only mention this, you know, from my blog experience back in the day when I had, you know, three visitors, and I'm like, Sally is visiting me from, you know, Springfield or whatever. That's nice. So sorry, a little diversion there. So that's some of the limitations, is that it's aggregated. Are there any other limitations to what you can learn from Google Analytics when it comes to customer data?
You know, I think that is its primary limitation. Beyond that, like I noted, it is an incredibly powerful piece of software, and Google updates it regularly to make it more and more powerful.
Cool. And I'm assuming that they have, well, maybe I shouldn't assume, but do they have documentation and help on how to use Google Analytics? And if you're not familiar with terms like sessions and that sort of thing, and it's...
Definitely. The Google Analytics Academy is primarily a video-based course or set of courses online that anyone can access and take advantage of, and they are excellent.
Cool. So we'll put a link to that as well in the show notes for people who want to dive deeper into Google Analytics. And so what are some other software services that you can use to gather and analyze information about site visitors?
Sure. So there are definitely some competitors to Google Analytics, and I won't go into that. If people are interested in doing their research and finding out, they can. But the main competition is it focuses on Google's weakness, which we mentioned, which is the aggregation of data. So there are things like KissMetrics and Intercom.io that focus on the user individually, right? They're able to aggregate, but their main focus is their ability to dig all the way down to the user level to say, okay, this particular visitor is Amber, and she lives here, and she's using this browser, and she's navigating to this page. It's really the individual data.
And is that limited to just when they're on your site, or does that also gather information about their other browsing activities, if in a creepy way?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, these tools are becoming more and more powerful every day, but primarily they are just focused on your particular website, where you're placing the tracking code.
So you can place tracking code on your site, and you can see maybe how effective your content marketing is. Is anybody purchasing a membership because they've read an awesome article on your blog, or are they just going straight to the pricing page after visiting the home page, that sort of thing?
Definitely. And you can do that with Google Analytics because that's more aggregated. This would almost be so fine-grained that you could say, you know, what is Amber doing when she visits this one page? Does she then go on to buy? Why or why not? Things like that.
Okay. Interesting. So if I can ask the obvious question, how does this information help business and site owners?
So it helps in a variety of different ways. One is it helps identify UX issues or user experience issues. You know, are there confusing steps or lack of steps in the sales process, or not even sales? You know, are there confusing things for your members after they've purchased when they're navigating your site? It really helps in that sense. You know, what are you highlighting? Think about calls to action. Are they effective? Do they work?
Okay. And so how can this information ultimately help or better serve customers and site visitors?
Well, you know, I think that, again, with regard to UX, you're able to look at the data, look at what your customers are doing, and improve upon the issues that you find.
back to our discussion on SEO and customer data in just a moment, but first, the news. On the Drupalize Me website, we've wrapped up our project management series, which features interviews with Lullabot's project and sales managers. You can find that on drupalize.me. We also have a new series on the MailChimp module coming out that ThinkShout, a Drupal agency here in Portland, maintains. This series is entirely free thanks to MailChimp. Thank you, MailChimp. We have a new Drupal 8 related blog post, Learning Drupal 8 from Boilerplate Code, and this is featuring the Drupal Console module. You can get quickly up and running with Boilerplate Code with helpful comments using Drupal Console, a command line utility. In this blog post, I demonstrate how to generate this Boilerplate Code for modules, themes, and plugins. You can find that on the Drupalize Me blog. In the world of events, registration is open for DrupalCon in Barcelona, Spain. You can take a look at accepted sessions, sign up to be a mentor, and book your hotel all through the DrupalCon website at events.drupal.org/Barcelona2015. Let's get back to our discussion on SEO and customer data with my guest, Andrew Wilson. So finally, what sort of ethical or privacy concerns regarding gathering customer data should business and site owners be concerned about or should be considering? And how do they need to communicate with the public about what data they are gathering?
So, you know, I like to think of this, with great power comes great responsibility, to use a cliche, but you do definitely need to ask yourself, what are the values of our organization? What, you know, how do we approach sales? Do we want to be aggressive? Do we want to, you know, is it more about proving our value than tricking someone into purchasing something? Because, you know, at the end of the day, all of this data is it's used to create value, or should be used to create value, because, you know, you're not going to generate revenue if you don't provide some sort of value to customers that are willing to pay. So you can do all the psychological tricks and manipulation in the world, but in the long run, you know, you won't be successful until that value is there. So I think that using the data to help your potential customers and your customers is the most ethical thing to do, and, you know, just being straightforward about what you may or may not be using on your website with regard to data of your customers.
And just stick that in your privacy policy and you'll be good.
For sure, definitely.
But really, like, to be serious, if you have, you want to start with creating a valuable service or product or whatever it is, creating value on your website, and you want people to find that. And that's really what this is all about. And once they find it, how are they doing with it? Like, are they able to navigate through, and are they able to find what they're looking for? Are they able to actually use your site? So that's really why I wanted to talk about both these things. It's kind of two sides of a coin: people finding your site, and then what are they doing once they find it? And are you being effective in communicating what you want about your service or products or information that you're providing or whatever it is, whatever the purpose is of your site? So thank you, Andrew, for being on the podcast. Are there any final resources? You've mentioned a few so far on the podcast, but do you want to recap some of the resources that people might want to look into if they're looking to improve their SEO status, or if they want to stick their toes in the water of learning more about their customers through gathering customer data?
Definitely. And first, I just want to say thank you for the opportunity to be on the podcast. It's a wonderful chance to just chat about some of this stuff that I like to geek out about. And with regard to resources, I definitely think that the Google Webmaster blog, their central blog, is a just incredible source of information. And I'd point people there because, again, Google controls about 70% of the search market. So if you're going to listen to anyone about what you should be doing with regard to SEO and data analytics, you should probably be listening to Google. So if you follow that, you'll learn a lot of great stuff.
Cool. We'll put that in the show notes as well. And we'll put also links to the schema.org information. Really important that I think that helped us a lot. And it's just a lot of good information that people might not be aware of.
Excellent.
Cool. Well, thank you one and all for listening to the podcast today. If you have topics you want to hear about or comments about this podcast, please let us know. You can reach us on Twitter at DrupalizeMe, on Facebook at facebook.com/DrupalizeMe, or on our website at DrupalizeMe. Until next time.